It's a familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of you. My message is, what is normal? Can somebody answer that? It sure is not Bob, he said. You know, it was funny. I didn't know my youngest daughter, her husband, and two children were coming today because I wanted to open up with a story about our granddaughter, Carissa, who went back to Children's Church. And I'm glad she went back there. I don't want to embarrass her. She's 10 now, very mature. When she was about 4 years old, we were waiting for our table to be called at a restaurant in Flushing, a Korean restaurant. And my wife leaned over and said, "Carissa, are you Korean?" And she said, "No, I'm normal." And we tell that story all the time. She's normal. What is normal? What's normal today? You know, when I ask that question, it's for a reason. What is normal today, and how does a Christian fit into the norms of what society says is normal? And I think our text speaks to that this morning. I believe that this story that Kathy just read is going to help us perhaps answer that question of where we stand in our faith when it comes to being normal in our society. So there's this story that Jesus is traveling from the area of Galilee where most of his ministry took place, not all. Obviously, he had a lot of ministerial moments in Jerusalem and along the way in Samaria and so forth. But he's on his way to Jerusalem. And as he's traveling through Galilee and Samaria, he enters a village and he's confronted by 10 individuals, and not just any 10 individuals, but 10 individuals who were suffering with the disease of leprosy. They were lepers. And I want to tell you that in that day and age, lepers were not considered normal in their society. They were abnormal. And so they were outcasts. They lived on the periphery of society, on the outer edges, away from the norm. They were disconnected from the so-called normal people. In fact, people of that day, which isn't true, people of that day thought people who suffered with leprosy was due to either sin in their lives or the lives of their parents. You remember when Jesus healed the blind man and the Pharisees brought him before the council, they asked the question, "Who sinned, you or your parents?" And that individual said, "All I know, sir, is I was once blind and now I see."
Woo-hoo. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I like this feedback. Woo-hoo. Yeah, it encourages the preacher. But you see, if they happened to encounter normal people in a normal society along the way, they had to shout at the top of their lungs, "Unclean! Unclean!" In the military, you would hear something, "Make a hole" or "Make way." Yeah, see, I knew I was going to get that response. And the reason they had to shout that is to make people aware that their presence was known, because they can contaminate somebody with the disease of leprosy and people would just flee to the left and right to allow them to pass through. And I thought, how sad. Could you imagine walking through the Bayshore Mall, the Smith Haven Mall, and you have to shout "unclean" and everybody has to hit the walls and the corners to let you pass by. That's how abnormal you were in their so-called normal society. And unfortunately, leprosy was a death sentence. If you contracted leprosy, you were going to die. And they knew that as well. So Jesus, he enters this village, according to what was read from Luke's gospel, and 10 lepers approach him. But they were mindful of the rules of their normal society. They were mindful of their need of not contaminating the normal people who lived in their society, mindful of the fear that people felt whenever they were present, people would flee and shudder that they were in their midst. And so the Bible very explicitly says they didn't approach Jesus. They called from a distance. They could not approach a normal person. So they shout from a distance, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They no doubt heard about the great healings that Jesus had performed. He was on his way to Jerusalem. They knew what he had done in Galilee. He had healed the blind. He caused the lame to walk. The woman of the issue of blood stopped. In fact, they even knew of an account when he raised somebody's son from the dead, the widow of Nain. And so this was their last shot. In fact, this was their only shot. This was their only ray of hope. They heard that this man, this rabbi from Galilee named Jesus, was coming through that village, and they desperately wanted to be healed. What a sad and poor scene. As I read this number of times, I could picture them huddled together in their normal society. They had to pull together as a community because they could only hang out with each other, and they're probably in these rags and they're disheveled and they're not eating properly and they're crying out in desperation to this passing rabbi. Sad. What was normal of that day? You see, people would have ignored them. "You're not part of us. Stay away." People would have shouted back at them to be quiet. "Stop bothering the rabbi." People would have ordered them, "Go back to your cave. Go back to your forest or the woods or wherever you people live. You know, we have homeless people. You could walk to their tent cities not far from here. You know where Swan Cleaners is? Just go down that road a piece and up by the railroad tracks. They're living out in tents, sort of like modern-day lepers. Go back to your tent cities." But Jesus often did things. This is what I love about Jesus. He often did things that wasn't normal in his society. It was abnormal. It was the unexpected. It's what religious leaders didn't do. And that's what I love about Jesus. So he responds. But his response I found very interesting. In fact, I caught this time I read it, was very different from previous healings. What do I mean? Rather than saying, as he had said in the past so many times before, "Be healed," or "Rise up," or "Open your eyes, you could see," or "Pick up your mat and walk," he doesn't say that this time. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." That's interesting. Could you imagine what was going through the minds of those lepers? "Are you for real, Rabbi Jesus? You want us to walk into the temple court looking the way we look and to go show ourselves to the priests? Really? Do you want us to enter the temple courts that's usually packed with people and just walk right through them to go see the temple? Are you serious, Jesus?" I would imagine that's what they were thinking. They were confused. They asked for mercy and healing, didn't they? And Jesus tells them to go to church or go to the temple. I would imagine they were a bit confused. They asked for this mercy. They apparently didn't get it. But it appeared as if Jesus had done nothing for them. And yet, they did something that didn't appear normal. What do I mean by that? Normal would have been to continue to shout out to Jesus. They didn't do that. They didn't continue to shout, "Master, have mercy on us." They didn't walk away and say, "What a waste of time that was. We should have just stayed where we were. This guy didn't help us." But instead, they actually listened to what he said, and the Bible says they were healed. They were healed. We know from the text that out of the entire 10 lepers, only one of the 10, and mind you, I love this story because Jews hated Samaritans. It was the Samaritan in the group that it says, upon realizing he was healed, he returns praising God with a loud voice, and he falls at the feet of Jesus, and he says, "Thank you, Master." And Jesus looks upon this man, and he says something not for the man to hear, but for the disciples who were with him that day to hear. He says, "Were there not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner," meaning the Samaritan? And then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has healed you." I love that. Notice Jesus didn't say, "Your faith has cured you." He says, "Your faith has healed you." Why? Because the other 9 were cured of leprosy as well. They were all cured of their leprosy, even though they didn't come back. It was more than just a physical healing. I believe what took place that day for that Samaritan man, he not only received a physical healing, he received a spiritual healing. He was made whole physically, and he was made whole spiritually. Now, let me tell you something, friends. That should not surprise us. Why? The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. And I had put that slide up there, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For it is by grace." What does grace mean? God's unmerited favor. You can't earn God's love. It's freely given. So it says it's by grace, God's unmerited favor, that you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. You cannot earn your salvation. Folks, I don't care how hard you work. I don't care what you do for God. I don't care how many committees we serve on. I don't care how many sermons I preach from a pulpit. It matters not. It's through the grace of God by faith that we're saved. Thank you, Bob. I wanted a response. It deserves a response to be saved. Man, I want to tell you something. If you were floating around in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and somebody threw you something to pull you back in and save you, you would be screaming as loud as Bob, I could tell you that. 9 lepers got cured, and the Bible says 1 got saved. The 9 received their blessings, and they don't look back. They put their lives of leprosy behind them. They put their lives of being an outcast in society in their rearview mirror. They put their death sentence behind them, and they enter normal society with no regard for the one that blessed them. Now, I love Thanksgiving, and believe you me, I love turkey and stuffing. But it's not about football games. It's not about even eating a great meal that's been prepared for days. It's about being the one who returned and said, "Lord, thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do in my life." The 10th leper, he's not in such a hurry to run away from his past. He's not in such a hurry to re-enter the normal life of society. He realizes there's something more about what happened in my life today. The hand of God has touched me. He realizes how unusual and how out of the ordinary it is, how out of the norm, how exceptionally gracious God has showed his favor upon my life. And he runs back and he praises God at the top of his lungs. And he falls down on his knees before Jesus' feet, and he says, "Thank you, Lord." Wow. Now, here's the rub. All too many find themselves in the position of the nine lepers. I've been there. And maybe some of you have. How many people made a vow to God? If you just get me out of this, God, if you just show me this one favor, if you just do this for me, this one time, I promise you, I will do this and that and the other thing, and I will serve you all the days of my life. And as soon as that miracle happens, as soon as we get that breakthrough, it's history. And we go back to the normal of our lives. We return to the normal and forget what God has done. Forget about the grace that was extended to us. What a shame to have met Jesus, the Lord and the giver of life, to have met the one who loves and eats with sinners like you and me, and to come away with nothing more than normal. What a shame to have met Jesus, the risen Christ, the one who takes away the sins of the world, the one who embraces us right where we're at. Not that we have to clean ourselves up, but he takes us all messed up the way we are and embraces us and welcomes us in and loves us unconditionally, and come away from that meeting with nothing more than normal. You see, when we believe the gospel message, friends, the gospel message, we realize that the power of salvation for life is more than just normal. It leads to a life of gratitude, a life of thanksgiving, like that Samaritan leper realized something happened. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure thankful. We can look back at that one leper and remember where he came from. And remember our previous state and condition. What was once normal for us when we lived in darkness and despair and we were not walking with God. And then seeing that God acted in Christ on that cross and through his resurrection is still working in the world and through us by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. You see, our faith is not about how to live a normal life. I don't want to live a normal life. My prayer every morning is this. It drives people crazy. I said, Lord, today help me to be out of control. What? Yeah. You be in control. And I want to be out of control. Because every time I'm in control, I mess up. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. You could ask my daughter, too. I don't know if I want to be part of this normalness in society today. It's about how God touches us. It's about how God embraces us and raises not only that which was once dead to a new life in Christ, but transforms that which was ordinary into something extraordinary. Yes, in you and in me. Wow. And let me tell you, if this message ever needed to be heard, my friends, man, does it need to be heard today. You don't believe me? Just take a look at what's normal in our society today. My goodness. I need a Valium after I watch the evening news. And I'm not even going to expound on it. Just watch the evening news and pick up the newspaper and read it. What is normal today? Do we as believers really want to be normal in our society today? Normal according to societal norms that we witness every day going on around us? Remember, one day Jesus healed 10 lepers. Out of them, 9 went away and re-entered a normal life. However, one of them, the Samaritan, turned and gave thanks to Jesus. And he was made whole in body and spirit on account of his faith and thankfulness. I guarantee you that that one former leper went on to affect the lives of so many others in abnormal ways. I know he did. And so what's my prayer this morning? May the same be said for us. May we be thankful and pushed out of our comfort zone of normalness according to the ways of this world and be more in line with the ways of God. Amen. And so, Lord God, I just pray today on this sort of Thanksgiving weekend that's leading into Thanksgiving. I pray, Lord God, that we would be challenged as to where we position ourselves in life. I know we're moving on to perfection. I know what the Apostle Paul says in his word. I know that we're not saints yet. But what areas of our lives are just too normal and out of step with what you consider to be normal? I pray, Lord God, that you would awaken those areas in our lives and that through prayer and supplication, you would help us change those areas so that we would look more like you than the world. And I pray this with all my heart in Jesus' name. Amen.